So let's think about some of the things that we have done as a church throughout this year. We have assembled. We've been here throughout the year and in our scheduled services, our regularly scheduled weekly services, our revival effort meeting. We've been here throughout 2012 in assembly. The gospel has gone forth. We've had, different ones throughout the year that have preached the gospel, and the church, again, throughout this year, has advanced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have maintained the ordinances this year, according to the customs and traditions of Fairview Memorial. Twice a year, we have observed the Lord's Supper, and we have administered the ordinance of baptism to those who have professed salvation and united with the church. So we have, again, we have maintained the gospel ordinances throughout this year. We've contributed to mission work, both with our finances and with our prayers. We have tried to advance the Lord's cause in that way as a church throughout this past year. I'm thankful for those who have been saved, those who have, united with the church. We've seen some growth in that way throughout the year. We've gone to the nursing homes this year and held the services that we have. And we have essentially worked in the vineyard of the Lord. And so as we approach another year, and it'll be up to the Lord, whether or not we will see that. It won't be up to the Mayans. It'll be up to the Lord. I mean, we had people again this year that, I don't think people even really understood really what they were talking about anyway. But, I mean, we had people again this year that said, the world's going to end and we're still here. And, every time I hear something like that, I go to the scripture where Jesus said, no man knows. No man knows when that hour, only God in heaven knows. When God's finished, it'll be time. It'll be in His timing. So as we approach another year, what do we do? What do we do with 2013? Well, certainly, I mean, there are things that we want to maintain in 2013. But I believe that with anything that you do in life, and I believe this is especially crucial with the Lord's work and with the Lord's church. But it true to a great extent with anything that you do in life. If it's, if you're involved, if you're an athlete or whatever you work at as an occupation, as a vocation, if you don't continually have a desire to improve, you'll eventually become complacent. And it's not a good thing for a church to be content in the work of the Lord, because you will eventually become complacent. If you don't continue to strive to make advancements, then I believe that eventually you'll begin to go the other way. And so what we can do in light of those things that we have done in 2012, what we can do and what we should do in 2013 is determined by the help of the Lord to do them more than what we did in 2012. And rather than us to say, well, you know, I felt like we had a good revival meeting in the summer of 2012, and I felt like that we did a good job as a church this year in our support of mission work. I felt like we did, you know, a good job in trying to advance the cause of Christ through mission work, and all of these things that we did. Why can't we say, well, if God blesses us with another year, we'll try to do more of those things than what we did in the previous year? We don't want to do less, do we? I mean, we should not have a desire to do less than what we did in 2012. I know that nobody here wants to see fewer people saved than what we did in the new year, than what we did in this year. And certainly there would be no reason for us to want to see the church give less, you know, to support mission work or, you know, those things. So we need to strive to do more. And the Bible teaches us that. We've loved each other throughout the year, have we not? I mean, you could look at different acts of kindness that have taken place among the church throughout the year, and you could say again throughout 2012, we have shared our love one with another. We have cared for each other. Well, how do we improve upon that? Well, we love each other more throughout a new year, if God allows it to pass. And all of these things are taught to us in the Scriptures, and I will share a few of the Scriptures with you tonight. But let's look right now at 1 Corinthians 15 and read a few verses together, in beginning with verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart, that whatever we do in the work of the Lord, if we are truly building on the right foundation, if we are truly from a sincere heart doing the work of the Lord, then we never labor in vain in the work of the Lord. Now, we may not always, when we are doing the Lord's work, we may not always see immediate results. But we are not laboring in vain when we do the work of the Lord. I know that sometimes we see the preacher get up and God really helps him and really liberates him by His Spirit and anoints him with His power and allows the man of God to really preach the gospel to people, and nobody does anything, nobody makes any visible move. But I'll tell you what, that man did not labor in vain. God said, His word does not return unto him void. And so we never labor in vain when we do the work of the Lord. When we do the work that we do with our hands, we labor with a great deal of vanity, don't we? I mean, that's what Solomon said. There's vanity in that, but there's no vanity. It's not vain when we do the work of the Lord. But Paul said that we are to always abound. He told the Corinthian church, he said, you always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't be content. Don't say, well, we're doing enough. Always abound in the work of the Lord. To have a desire throughout the coming of the new year to do more as a pastor, to have a desire throughout the new year for those that hold the office to do more as a deacon, to have a desire throughout the new year to do more as a lay member in the church, to be a better witness in 2013 than we have been in 2012, to try to have more influence on people in the new year than what we have had in the past year, to try to work harder to influence more people to come and to visit with us in our services throughout another year. I'm thankful for the visitors that we've had in 2012. There's hardly a service that goes by, especially in our biggest services here on Sunday morning. There's hardly a week that goes by that we don't have somebody visiting with us in our services, and we need to give God thanks for that. That's not true in every church, and we're blessed in that way, and we need to give God thanks, but certainly I don't think any of us would like to see less people coming, would we? I mean, certainly I don't think any of us are going to say, well, we've just had too many visitors this year. We would like to see more come and be among us, and more people hear the gospel and be exposed to the truth of God's word. So we need to abound in the work of the Lord. We have, this year, we have studied the word of God. We have been here usually in our midweek services, in our Wednesday prayer meeting, we usually have a lesson format, and we have studied the Word of God, and the ladies that meet on Monday morning in the women's Bible study studying the Word of God, I pray that and I expect that it's true that everybody throughout 2012 that you learned something about the Lord and about His word and about His cause in this year that you didn't know, you know, perhaps before. But certainly we wouldn't want to learn less, would we? Or we wouldn't want to say, I know all that I need to know. I just don't need to know anything else about the Bible. I just don't, you know, I'm satisfied with what I know about the Scriptures, and I could be content just to stop here. But no, we need to learn more and more and more about God and about His Word. And listen to what Paul said in his writing to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, we are told that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is not going to be anything that you don't know, but I'll tell you what, this book here, I mean, if you study this book, you read the Scriptures and you study the Scriptures, I guarantee you that you will never stop learning. Because we are never going to master this. We are never going to learn all that there is to learn. I'm convinced that there are, great things that lie within the Scriptures. Though men have studied the Scriptures for years and years and years, there's many things that we haven't yet found. And there, I mean, it's just, it is an endless supply of knowledge to us. And so we need to increase. Now, we will probably, throughout this year, we will probably learn some things and increase in knowledge in some things that won't do us one bit of good to know. I'm talking about things of the world. I'm talking about things that we probably learn. In fact, there's been some things that I've heard that I thought, man, I wish I'd have never learned that. I wish I would have never heard about that. But I've not felt that way about God's Word. I think we have ingrained within us just a desire to continue to learn. So we need to apply ourselves to the study of God's Word that we might increase in the knowledge of God and grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I've heard many people talk about this and testify about this, and I have found it to be true. I certainly do believe it, that we have a very loving congregation here, that we are a loving church. Well, that's certainly true. But don't you think we could do better? I mean, can we not grow in our love for one another? Well, sure we can. And the Bible teaches us that that's what we need to do. Paul, in his writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, he wrote to them and he said, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Now, if God grants us another year together, if this time comes in 2013, we ought to have, through the year, we ought to have developed a greater love for the Lord in 2013 than what we had in 2012. Our love for Him ought to just continue to grow. And we ought to have developed a greater love for each other with the use of another year than what we had in the year past. Sometimes you see people that for a long time they seem to love each other, and then all of a sudden something happens and it seems like they can't stand the sight of each other. Boy, that's the wrong direction to go in, isn't it? I mean, we don't need to go backwards in any of these things. We don't need to go backwards in knowledge. We don't need to stop working less, start working less for the Lord. And we don't need to love each other less. No, we need to abound in all of these things. We need to increase. We need to increase in the work of the Lord. And we need to increase in love, and we need to grow in grace, and we need to grow in knowledge, and we need to always be pressing toward the mark and reaching and desiring for more and more. I'll tell you what, when it comes to the things of God, now when it comes to the things of the world, the riches of this life, then the Scriptures condemn covetousness. But when it comes to the things of God, the Scriptures approve of covetousness. And God approves of covetousness. We are to covet, Paul said, we are to covet, earnestly covet, these spiritual gifts. But we are not to lust after and covet the things of the world. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 25. Let's look at 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now there's two things primarily that are mentioned in the 25th verse. It's the assembling of ourselves together, and it is exhorting one another. And we're not told, as time goes on, we're not told to do those things less, but we're told to do those things more. You know, I think I shared this a couple of weeks back. My heart was saddened. I was talking on the phone to one of my good pastor friends, and he was sharing with me that the area of the country that he lives in, that there were more and more of the churches that were stopping some of their services. There were more and more churches around him that were not having their Sunday evening services anymore. They were just meeting, you know, on Sunday morning. And we don't need to meet less. That's not what the Bible tells us, is it? We don't need to assemble, as we see the day approaching, we don't need to assemble ourselves together less. And we don't need to exhort one another less than what we have. And we don't need to be content either. We need to have a desire to move forward, to do more. I mean, who are we doing this for? That's the important question. Who are we doing this for? We're not doing it for ourselves. This is for the Lord. We're not working for us. We're working for the Lord. We're not working to advance our cause or our kingdom. We're working to advance the cause and the kingdom of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, God doesn't, He never sells us short in anything. When God saved us, did He give us just a little bit of His love? Not what the Bible says, is it? The fifth chapter of Romans, it says, He shed His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know, God doesn't, He doesn't desire to just give us just a little bitty bit of His goodness. He wants to give us those showers of blessings. He wants to abound. I'll tell you what, God abounds toward us. He greatly abounds toward us, and we need to strive to do the same for Him and do more and more all the time to advance the cause in the kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can grow in our knowledge of Him. We can grow in love towards God and towards each other and towards our neighbors and whoever that we're around. We can grow in love for God and for His creation. We can love each other more and more and more all the time. I mean, isn't that wonderful? I mean, if you really stop and think about it, isn't that awesome that the love that God's people have for each other can always be increased? I mean, isn't it great that we can't just get to a place where we say we can't love each other anymore? I mean, you know, there's just an endless supply. We can always increase in our love for each other. We can always increase in our knowledge of the Word of God. What about prayer? We prayed this year, haven't we? I mean, we've had times when we've had special prayers together. We pray every service, but we've had times when we've had special altar prayers together. Maybe somebody had a particular health need or something like that, and we came up here for a special prayer and had prayer with them. So we've prayed together, and we prayed for each other throughout the year, but certainly we don't need to say, well, we're praying enough. No, we can pray more. We can spend more time in prayer, and I'll guarantee you that the more time that we spend in prayer in our private lives and the more time we spend in prayer collectively, the better off we're going to be. The better off 2013 will be than what 2012 was if we spend more and more time and if we abound in prayer. If we abound in prayer and we increase in prayer, then we'll be better off at the end of the new year than we are at the end of this year. You can't pray too much. There's no way that you can pray too much. And so we need to abound in prayer. Maybe you have some thoughts tonight. I'll give way to you to express anything that's on your heart.